You have a half hour to ask questions. And they're on the air. The number is 375-3082. And I brought in some articles that we can discuss. If you are bashful or don't have any questions to ask, are there some books that you've read that you want to share information on, or television shows, or articles, current articles on the subjects that we cover on World Watchers? I got a telephone call last night from a listener who told me to watch a TV movie called The Telephone, and it was a fascinating movie. It was the subject of mind control, how agents get a telephone number, and at that point they are programmed. They answer the telephone, the phone rings. I guess you could use any type of programming. This particular one had to do with a poem of Robert Frost, and when they hear that number, the particular person goes out and commits an act, in this case a particular act of violence. I know that telephones are used by the Central Intelligence Agency. I'll continue on this thought in a minute. I'll take a call right now, and then we'll get on to that in a moment. Hello?
Hi. I'd like to take my answer off the air as I'm calling long distance, but I would like it if you could possibly run down, first, if you could tell me what tape you talked about John Lennon's assassination on, and if you could run down just a couple of pieces of information that would lead one to suspect that it wasn't just, you know,
okay, thank you. Okay, you're long distance, so I'll take that. Okay. Now, I got a call asking about John Lennon's assassination. I did a three-part series on the murder of John Lennon on Mark David Chapman. I don't have the listing of the programs here, so you'd have to call my home, 624-9103, or send me a letter with a self-addressed and stamped envelope to Box 22511, Carmel 93922, May Brussel, that's Box 93922 is a zip code. Okay, and if you send that self-addressed stamped envelope, I'll give you the sheet that accompanies the broadcast. There were five broadcasts on John Lennon, six actually. And in essence, I traced Mark David Chapman, the fellow that shot John Lennon, and how he came from the same DeKalb County that I've been talking about on the past programs, from Georgia, where the assassination teams and the silencers and the training are set up for assassins all over the world. And he was sent to Beirut, Lebanon for 6 months, and then he was sent to Fort Chaffee, Arkansas, where Edwin Wilson and Frank Turpel had brought in the Laotian tribesmen, the opium dealers from Southeast Asia, to Fort Chaffee, and then later they were supposed to be sent to Jonestown to reside there. And he went to a Christian college in back east, too, in the Southwest. And then he went to Hawaii, and he met a woman at a travel agency, but he was going to pick up a ticket to go around the world. And he traveled to Japan and South Korea and Thailand and Hong Kong and about 17 or 15 different countries, Israel and Switzerland and London, and he saw John Lennon perform in London, and then he went back to Hawaii, and meanwhile he was a security guard there at a hospital, and he also was interned at a hospital for a while, had a art collection. He collected Rockwell, one or two paintings. He attended the art galleries, which is a key place for many of these assassination networks of sources of contact. And then went to New York and went to back to Georgia and then to Hawaii and then back to New York again and stayed at the YMCA and then at the expensive hotel and was in front of the Dakota and shot John Lennon. If you write to me, Box 22511, Carmel 93922, I'll send you the sheets that accompany the broadcast. If you want the tapes, then you can get them. Hello? Oh. That was ringing another telephone. Okay, now, I don't have, as I say, the listing of all the back broadcasts. I can't remember them naturally. Tapes are available. Broadcasts are available going back to 1977. I do have the complete collection going from my first broadcast in 1971, but we don't make those available. It's just too many and too confusing for people to obtain those. Someday I'll do them. A lot of them are on the large reel. And I have to put them to the cassette. And from 77 on, they're available. So I'll fill you in on the details because there's an overlapping of the areas where Mark David Chapman was and where the assassination teams are located and identified. So where did he get his money? How did he travel around the world? How did he know where to be? We know John Lennon's at the Dakota, but if he canvassed the joint, there's security guards out in front to protect the people that live there, and particularly somebody like John Lennon. And he was very programmed to dislike him. He was early Beatles fan and then went to the Born Again Christian group that told him that the Lennon music, the Beatles music, was evil. And he actually believed it was, and that this was somewhat of a religious mission that he was doing the world to cling the world, because John Lennon was begin to surface and come out with a new record. As long as he was dormant and didn't become public, it was okay. But if he surfaced, then he had to be killed. And on those sheets, you'll see the explanation for the motives for John Lennon and for the possibility of, well, the kind of thing that he could do right now would be protest against the war in El Salvador and Nicaragua and Guatemala. And Ronald Reagan intended to clean those out and make them safe for United Fruit again and for the American corporations. And Lennon could get together, the Beatles could get a million people in one day to assemble if they decided ever to come again. And that's not allowed. Only the Pope can have that many people get together in one day, and not for peace, just for resistance against the Soviet Union. The number here is 375-3082 if you want to call and ask some questions. I was mentioning the movie, The Telephone. It showed this party calling for one man. There was another woman, and they get instructions telephonically and leave and do the job they're supposed to do, and then they can be killed afterwards. They're expendable, but at a certain point, they're triggered to do particular violence. I was interested in that because of the book, The Control of Candy Jones, how she told how she worked for the CIA and was trained telephonically that she could become Arlene Grant. Just on the telephone, her name would change, and she could become Arlene Grant, and then she could have a double passport and a wig and travel Southeast Asia and around for the Central Intelligence Agency and even be tortured while she was under this hypnotic control that was given by the telephone. And she didn't break that torture. She kept that role, and then she was put back to her other role again by, again, a telephone call that puts her back to being Candy Jones. She was a model, and she's a radio person who's on New York radio every evening. She's still on the air, and she wrote the book about her experiences for the CIA. George de Morangil, the primary witness of the entire murder of John Kennedy, the assassination conspiracy part, de Morangil was in charge of Lee and Marina Oswald and their housing and their jobs, and the cover story for the motives, possible motives, if Lee had been involved in killing John Kennedy. And de Morangil was supposed to be met by the House Select Committee on Assassinations. A member of the committee was to see him at noon in Florida, and just about an hour before that, he got a telephone call. He reached in the drawer, allegedly shot himself in the throat, and was dead. Dan White was home, got a telephone call, put a gun in his pocket, went down to the city hall, climbed through a window, which was left open, went into the mayor's office and killed the mayor, and then went into the supervisor's office, Harvey Milk, and killed George Moscone, and he killed him. And then he went to a telephone over at the hot dog stand over on Van Ness, and then turned himself in and had a telephone in the cell. There's Jack Ruby was with his roommate in Dallas, Texas. He got a telephone call, put a gun in his pocket, went allegedly to the Western Union to send a wire, and walked right through the jail, the basement where Lee Harvey Oswald was, and shot Lee Harvey Oswald and ended the path of the conspiracy by silencing the Patsy 2 days after the President of the United States was killed. So I was interested in the telephone conversation, the movie The Telephone. As luck would have it, the lights went out about an hour after it was on, and I was really interested. The Monterey Peninsula part of it was dark, and I didn't get to see the end, but it was pretty clear how it is done and how they control by way of a telephone, and that does, in fact, happen. Some of these movies that you see, the James Bond or the science fiction, are all tested. I understand everything that's done in a James Bond movie has been actually made, invented, or done, and these are not science fiction or out of this world. They really do happen. 375-3082. This is Mae Bressel. If you want to talk about some movies and books or anything on your mind, we can share this time. Otherwise, as I say, I usually bring in a lot of articles to share with you. There was a story in Newsday by Bob Wiemer, W-I-E-M-E-R. It's called It's Time for Generic Justice. And he makes the allegation that brand name judges are no assurance of quality. And that is absolutely true. And he believes that we shouldn't bring in these well-known, tired, and worn judges to try these important cases, that we're not necessarily getting justice. And maybe we should take the brand off of whether they're Democrat or Republican or well-known. These are well-known attorneys such as Percy Forman or Leon Jaworski, who passed away, Melvin Belli, John McCloy, Louis Neiser, Joseph Ball, John DeLorean's attorney, Edward Bennett Williams, F. Lee Bailey. Whenever there's a major conspiracy in the United States that involves Nazis, narcotics, the syndicate, and the highest power structure, the Defense Intelligence Agency, one of these men is called in to handle this case, one or more. And they rotate them, and they're used for very important cases, and they seem to have very big butts. They can sit on the lid and not let the pieces come out or get unglued. And the judge is the same way. We bring in certain judges to try cases, and it's detrimental to the real truth of the case to bring in these well-known attorneys and judges and expect that you're going to get a fair trial or a hearing on these matters. There's an article in the Chronicle this morning about Joe Freitas and his prosecution of Dan White. He was close to Dan White. He was close to the People's Temple. He had contacts that were too closely linked to the power structure in San Francisco and to the community there that was against the gay community, and Freitas should not have been in charge of the prosecution. He let his assistant do it, and of course Dan White got off, and they suggested that he made deals. Obviously, it was the weakest prosecution, and the jury was handpicked from the post office, from the federal agencies, from Bechtel. It was a one-sided jury. There was no way that Dan White could get prosecuted. And this article is on brand-name judges. There's no assurance of quality. Let's get generic justices, people that are unknown, and see what they can do. And I agree with that 100%. I don't know how you feel about that, but I think that's one of the big problems. That when you have, when the president was killed, and they brought in Alan Dulles of the whole OSS CIA formation, the director of the CIA fired by John Kennedy, how can you expect a commission like that, and Earl Warren, who's so controversial, with links to Murray Chotiner and organized crime, and the crime syndicate was involved in the murder of Kennedy. And Earl Warren worked close with John McCloy and assisted in rounding up the Japanese during the War of the Internment. There was a team that worked very close together. And so they were put on the Warren Commission, and of course, the truth doesn't come out. There should be, take away these well-known names and see what happens with the courts and bring them out, because those people don't have a reputation to hold up or to lose, and maybe they'll just go for the truth. I'll give you the number again if you have any questions, 375-3082. If you call and have a question you want to ask. In the meantime, I'll bring up another thing that interested me. It happened a few weeks ago. That was that $5 million defeat for Phil Donahue when he had a program on children that were missing or kidnapped by a parent, and the particular father that he had on the program, the child was sitting in the office with the secretary sitting on her lap, this small youngster. He eventually was returned to the mother. She hadn't seen him in 3 years. What do you think about public television, where people are paid huge salaries to do sensational stories and are part of the problem? Do you have any feelings about that, about how the large structured programs can use individuals for sensational stories, and privately these families are hurting and looking for members of their families? This evening, I think at 9 o'clock, there's going to be a program on TV on missing children. There's about 2 million children missing in the United States. It used to be somewhere like 50,000 and then 100,000, and one of the figures recently was up as much as 2 million. About, I forget what figure, are found dead. Not very many, but a lot of them are missing and lost. They're used for child pornography. Wait, hello?
Hi.
Yes.
Is this May?
Yes.
Mark.
Oh.
You're not on the air.
Yes, I am. What do you want?
Sorry, I thought you weren't on
the air. Do you have a question?
No, I thought you weren't on the air until 8.
No, I'm on the air. 7:30. Talk to you later. Well, how do you like that one? Thought you weren't on the air today. Well, he'll learn. Turn on the station at 7:30, and he'll find out what time we're on. We do take questions, 375-3082, if you have a question. Okay, hello?
Hello. Yes. I'd like to ask you if you can give me a little background on Ed Davis.
Ed Davis.
Oh, how he fits into the diagram, and you've mentioned him several times.
Okay, did you have a particular reason?
Or can you give me a number of a program where you...
Oh, gosh, I've done so much on Ed Davis.
He goes back a long way.
He goes back a long way.
It was interesting you brought him up now.
Yeah, he's a senator now in California.
Yeah.
Now, I just had reprinted an article I wrote in 1972 when, at the time of Watergate, why was Martha Mitchell kidnapped?
Uh-huh.
And that article, you can get copies. I haven't even figured out the cost of printing, how many pages. I'll look it up here and see how many. And you can have it at cost. I just had them reprinted because it's hard, almost impossible to get those now.
Okay,
and
I can just...
Now, Ed Davis, are you a local caller?
Uh-huh.
Okay, then I'll tell you in a minute. Ed Davis was chief of police in Los Angeles.
Right.
And he was there when Robert Kennedy was killed, of course, at the Ambassador Hotel. And I really got interested in Ed Davis when Louis Tackwood, the agent provocateur, surfaced in 1971. And had a press conference and said that there was this Squad 19 that planned on killing Richard Nixon and to round up the radicals, and that the convention was going to be in San Diego, but that he worked with, it turned out to be, G. Gordon Liddy and E. Howard Hunt and Bernard Barker and that whole team. In fact, they were out in Beverly Hills breaking into Daniel Ellsberg's psychiatrist. And Louis Tackwood exposed the whole statewide criminal system going back to the computers and data banks in Washington, D.C., and that Ed Davis was part of the plan to round up the radicals. And he had an agency that used provocateurs such as Tackwood. And Louis Tackwood worked with Donald DeFries in the Los Angeles Police Department.
Uh-huh.
And he set up agent provocateurs. The purpose was to get the Black Panthers and the various people, but he also... Louis Tagwood's role was to bring in narcotics into the black part of town. Then they'd arrest the blacks, you know, the narcotic charges, fill the prisons, you know, fill them all up like slave ships, right? The California prisons are just packed with people. And Tagwood had to testify against a man who was supposed to have done a murder in the valley because the DA was running for election and it would make it really good copy to catch the man just before the election. And I said to him, how do you feel about, you know, putting this guy up at San Quentin for life, you know, when he didn't do it? And I went to visit the particular prisoner and see if I could help him get out. He hadn't done the crime and he was sitting up there. And it cost the taxpayers $10,000 a year for each one of these.
Right.
Okay? Yeah, so, I mean, just a mess. And he sent an agent up to Marin when the shootout with the judge at Marin County, you know. And
this is Davis.
Ed Davis. The LAPD had, if you get the Glass House tapes by Louis Tackwood, Avon publishes it. It's still available in different places, and it gives you an outline just of the work that one man, Louis Tackwood, did for the LAPD. And then he tried to make himself maybe clean. He's, for all purposes, he's up at... in Sacramento as a senator, if you can believe this. And he left a network of agent provocateurs that wiped out all the so-called left or liberal group. And they orchestrated...
In Southern California.
Yeah, they orchestrated the Manson family with the Defense Department and with the narcotic people so that Charles Watson did the murders, an Eagle Scout and a churchgoer from life who came, you know, from childhood, who came out from Texas and was working with Beverly Hills attorneys and killed all those people. Manson wasn't in the home, and Watson wants the guy. He's a priest at San Luis Obispo, and they still refer to the Manson murders. Watson did them, and he was an agent of Ed Davis. Oh, gosh, I could go on.
Yeah,
is this disgusting?
No.
I mean, it's just terrible.
It's something that I didn't know, but I wanted to be a little filled in on because he does come up. So,
he set up a network of provocateurs that would turn against the hippies.
They're still working today.
Yes, yeah, distributing, you know, yes, they're working in Idre, and the same computers are working right now with Larry McDonald and at J. Paul and the list for getting ready for the Olympic Games in Los Angeles. And the thing that I fear is that what they couldn't do in 1970 do
They'll try to do a 1984.
That's why you're going to leave the country?
Well, I'm not going to leave the country. I may go on a vacation for 2 weeks, but something has to be done about these people. If you don't follow the last things that they did, you know, then how can you solve the present? If you can't admit the role, say, that Charles Watson did, if KGO can have a continuous show on the Manson crimes, interviewing Charles Manson, why don't they have interviewing Charles Watson? See? And maybe write to KGO and ask that Diane Kennedy or what her name is. I want to see five-part story on what was in the mind of Charles Watson. Because here is the all-American do-gooder Christian background who treats the the people in Sharon Tate's home like a village in Vietnam and slaughters the Biancas, these people. What's on his mind? See, Manson you can understand because he's brought up in various homes and illegitimate and had very little time on the streets. But they used somebody with a talent for music and writing songs to identify him with hippies. And that's why they used the beard and the eyes and the hypnotic eyes looking like Rasputin. Manson became the symbol of the hip generation, and he wasn't a hippie. He was a prisoner who was allowed all the goodies of women and drugs.
I found that strange, too.
Yeah, yeah. So, you know, there's a lot of stories of the Manson family, of the SLA. I wrote a story, the SLA is the CIA. And if Ed Bates and Emily Young and Ed Davis, these people can't be put on the carpet for what they are, then you can expect more from
them. They don't seem to be at all.
No.
I mean, none of them are.
No, that's right.
Well, you said I could write to you?
Yes, you can write to me, and I'll send you box 22511, Carmel 93922. And I'll tell you how to get the article I did on why was Martha Mitchell kidnapped, because that has to do with Ed Davis. Oh, and then the second article in The Realist that I did that's available in 1974 was called The Senate Select Committee is Part of the Cover-Up, and that's about the California counterintelligence, the syndicate police system, on how they covered up the Lewis Tagwood allegations and the network.
And this is what you're talking about now in the Los Angeles Police Department that started
back then
15 years ago when he was
police. And those files that they had that they were putting into computers then were ordered destroyed when the Watergate story came. And then instead of destroying them, they put them into massive computers that belonged to John Reese. And in a few weeks,
and now it's in Texas.
Well, the biggest computer is going to Austin, Texas, but John Reese works in Virginia with Western Goals, which ties right into the military, which is Emily Younger's a general in the military. They're all reserve, and the network is intact, and instead of being ordered to destroy these things, they kept them, and now their excuse is we have the Olympics coming, so we need them.
Right.
And what the lists are people who never committed a crime. They're authors and writers and actors and researchers and people that don't, you know, that want their own abortions and so forth, or don't like acid rain or whatever it is. You know, anything you petition puts you into that computer.
Do you think just knowing all this is going to do, I mean, what can we do?
Well,
I guess you get that question a lot.
Okay, one of the things, why don't you do this for me? Why don't you write and send me a copy of the letter. Write to KGO, 277 Golden Gate in San Francisco. I forget the zip. And ask for that, Ms. Kennedy, and say, I'm very interested in the fact that you did this series on Charles Manson. Can you give me a reason why you didn't do, or would you do, the same amount of time with Charles Watson? Mm-hmm. See, they don't want his name to be known.
Mm-hmm.
It's always the Manson murders.
Mm-hmm.
So say, would you please do it and see if you get an answer?
Okay.
Her answer will probably be, we covered enough of it already, see? They take one
more. That's what they'll say. Okay, I'll do that.
Okay, and I'll send you the information on the two articles where I go into the LAPD and their role to the police state apparatus.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye.
Okay, these are long answers, but I think it's worth it. The subjects that I bring up are controversial, and they have a history in a time slot of where these events took place, and it's hard for me to give a yes, no, or a quick answer. So I have that same problem when I'm on talk shows where you're supposed to give a quickie. It's better to fill in as much as you can. Hello?
Hello, calling from Santa Cruz.
Okay.
How are you tonight?
How are you?
I'm appalled.
Why?
I saw McCoy, the Undersecretary of War.
Oh, yeah.
I believe during the Truman administration.
Where'd you see him?
McLear.
John J. McCloy?
Yeah.
Oh, God. The one who just opened the Harvard studies for 10 Germans every year?
McNeil Lehr Report, yeah.
When was he on?
McNeil Lehr.
Yeah, tonight?
It's a KQED.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Broadcast. And he was saying that he was appalled that we should apologize to the Japanese
mm-hmm.
because many lives were lost. After all, they bombed their many men underneath the ocean,
mm-hmm.
Our American men underneath the ocean, and no one has apologized to them.
Mm-hmm.
The fact is, I don't know how many people know this, but the war was over months before they dropped the bomb. The Japanese were trying to negotiate a treaty with our government through the Russians. All they wanted was the retention of the emperor.
Well, you're talking about before Pearl Harbor or Hiroshima?
Hiroshima.
Yeah. But we're confused. What the Japanese want is payment running into the billions, like $22,000 a
right.
person, because he rounded them up and put them in a camp.
Right.
And his excuse was, well, there were Japanese spies in this country, and we couldn't tell one from the other.
He's really a racist.
Tell me about it.
In fact, that the Japanese who was on there representing the people picked that out and said he still considers the Japanese their enemy. And
uh-huh.
it was he didn't use the word racist, but it was obvious.
Mm-hmm.
And what is appalling is to me anyway, going back in history and reading the years of the Truman administration, is how that bomb was used to frighten the Russians.
That's right.
And it was the only reason they used it.
Yeah.
They didn't, the Japanese were defenseless.
And they chose a place where...
They were firebombing them for weeks and weeks at will.
Yeah, well, we chose a place where women and children were,
right.
too.
And what's doubly appalling is dropping a second one.
Uh-huh.
And then the only... thing that the American government could think about was to set up clinics there.
Mm-hmm. Band-aids.
Yeah, it was like they finally had their guinea pigs.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't treat them at all.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they didn't try to cure them.
Mm-hmm.
They just wanted to run tests on them.
But he didn't discuss his role in dropping the bomb.
No, he did not.
No.
They didn't talk about that. They just talked about whether the Japanese had a justifiable case.
Whether they had a case to claim
because
money.
Because it was wartime.
Yeah.
And he wouldn't admit that it was a race issue.
Uh-huh. Well, I think the scary part was McCloy and Simpson, the Secretary of War and the powers that be, knew that we had Japanese spies in this country, but they also knew we had German Nazis here since the 30s.
I'm sure they wouldn't have used it.
And they wouldn't touch a German.
They wouldn't have used it on the Germans.
No, never.
No.
Oh, no.
I'm convinced it's a racist bomb.
No, they wouldn't even drop one bomb on Auschwitz to stop the daily...
Well, Lenny Bruce said that a while back. He said, look at the hypocrisy and the double standard, how terrible these monsters are in Germany to put these Jews in ovens.
Mm-hmm.
But it's okay
mm-hmm.
to press a button from a distance and incinerate thousands of women and children.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's okay. That's a different kind of mentality. That's a different kind of morality.
Well, nobody said war was nice. And when you put it in the hands of these people, I mean, they're totally crazy. I just can't understand why it's taking people so long to understand. And this man is still a danger. He still is bringing 10 Germans a year through Volkswagen to...
McCoy?
Yeah, McCoy just set up the Harvard studies, and he was the one who released all the Nazis out of the camps that were supposed to be in there and set up, put them back in business. Hermann Apps, who's now head of the Vatican Bank, who was writing Hitler's paychecks. And McCoy has been a menace. He's had a diseased life ever since. Maybe you didn't know, but...
He comes out as a very diseased mentality.
Did you know that he was on the Warren Commission to investigate who killed Kennedy?
No, I did not.
Yeah, and you have to listen every week to World Watchers. He was on the Warren Commission, and his section to investigate or be in charge of was the Russian connections. And Lee and Marina Oswald were in... Lee was in Navy Intelligence and brought home Marina through the CIA.
Oh, yes. You know, I just so happened to see a dramatization of the play, the Oswald trial. It was
on Channel
36 last week.
Oh.
And they brought out, I don't know how, I haven't seen the play, so I don't know how closely they stuck to the play.
Yeah.
But, you know, part of it's fictionalized. Oswald wasn't killed right away in the play.
Yeah.
And they put him on trial.
I haven't seen the play.
And they brought out that the CIA and the mafia had a lot to do with it. All the witnesses were off.
Yeah.
The witnesses they saw at the grassy knoll.
Listen, I'll tell you what.
At the grassy knoll.
Next week, can you call me when we start the program? We have about 40 seconds. 20 seconds.
That's all I wanted to say. I wanted to talk about
talk about that play. We'll share that, and I'll get back with you next week.
Okay.
Thanks for calling. Bye-bye.
Okay. We have about just a little bit of time, so we'll not take any more calls on that. And we'll begin with World Watchers. There's a phone ringing, but we'll have to wait till next week. I'm sorry. This is a necessity. We have to put it off.